Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. I'm your host, Jeffrey Wright. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 92.9 FM, 680 AM. But we're now streaming live on YouTube, Twitch, and X, the Everything app. As always, you can stream us also audio only on the Odyssey app, as well as the TuneIn app and the iHeartRadio app. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on the Everything app at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good afternoon, sir. How's it going?
It's going because it's a little bit warmer, and so I feel slightly less awful.
The sun touched your skin, yeah. And you're like, man, this is...
Yesterday might have been my Jeffrey flu game, if you will. Joining me in studio, he's my basketball coach. He's your basketball coach. He's also Team Thad's basketball coach. He's the head coach and team director of Team Thad. Follow him on all the socials at Dream Big Herd. Coach Herd, good day, sir.
Great day. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day to all. As always, we will start off with Buy, Sell Short, or Go to Reddit. We'll get into Coach's thoughts on his Miami Hurricanes being the story of Sunday, although I guess maybe Notre Dame was the story of Sunday, but we'll get into the college football playoff. The University of Memphis, in about 30 minutes or so, is going to formally introduce Charles Huff as its next head football coach. We'll talk about that. We'll see if Coach wants to take a victory lap on Shador getting the number one spot for the Cleveland Browns for the rest of the season. We'll even get into the future of bowl games. Jason Munns, who is actually going to be at said introductory press conference, is going to do us a solid. He's going to step out during the introduction, and he's going to join the program. We'll get his thoughts on the University of Memphis hiring his alma mater's former coach. He, of course, a Southern Miss grad. We'll get his thoughts on that, of course, Tiger basketball, and more. Get into the list. We seem to be trending towards Phillip Rivers at 44 years of age and being out of the NFL for 5 seasons. Trending towards him starting. Notre Dame's pettiness absolutely knows no bounds. As always, I can give you the inside scoop of the West Coast Conference. There's one school that you just can't ever trust. That's USF, not University of South Florida. That's University of San Francisco. They just continue to prove that you can't trust them. Get into a little bit more. Also, maybe during hour number two, got a half-baked take that I kind of want to run by y'all. See your thoughts. It's more on the future of college athletics. We'll tell your story, and then we will get out of here. But let's just get right into it. Let's fire it up. Buy, sell short, or go to Reddit. All right, gents. Buy, sell short, or go to Reddit. The College Football Playoff Committee got it right.
You mean 100% right or just right overall?
Let's say this. By the instructions that they were given, mm-hmm. by the criteria of what they are tasked with selecting the 12 teams, they got it right.
It's crazy to say I would have to buy it, but this is the most getting it right, getting it wrong you can do, but I buy it.
So you know what I actually think is the craziest thing about it? I think if we just look at the bracket and we don't think about anything else that they've said, they got it right. And I understand where everybody is upset about the two G6 teams, but the reality is, based on the criteria they were given, you have to select the highest ranked champions, regardless of conference affiliation. And at that point, when you've got a 7-5 team that wins a conference championship, that team's probably going to be disqualified. So it wasn't like JMU kind of politicked their way or campaigned their way in. It was just they were there. It's not a whole lot different than last year when Boise, based on the criteria, Boise ends up getting the seed. And so then when you start to think about it in these terms, all right, the real controversies, in my opinion, are we had three teams, realistically, Alabama, Notre Dame, and Miami, going for two spots. And while I do not think Alabama is playing great football, the truth is Alabama is the regular season SEC champion. They finished at 7-1, tied with Georgia, and they beat Georgia head-to-head in the regular season. Ohio State was tied for the Big Ten regular season championship. They did not dock the regular season champions. They got in. And so then when you start to think about it, it's like, all right, well, Alabama's going to be in because of the SEC regular season champion. And then you wind up with two teams in Notre Dame and Miami that have the exact same record. When you start going through the metrics, they're essentially the same team. And even though it was week one, they played. And there was a result, and Miami won. And so you wind up in this position where you have three teams, you got to pick two. I think they end up picking the right two. Like, do I think Notre Dame would beat Alabama? Probably. At the same time, I don't know. Like, one thing I do know is that Notre Dame beat the hell out of a lot of bad teams late. Well, when Alabama went up against really bad teams late, they beat the hell out of them too. Now, when they went up against good teams, they started to look iffy. But I think the biggest problem with the whole committee and the whole did they get it right was simply how bad of a position they put themselves in early by having Miami and Notre Dame so far apart and with the same record at the time. They both had two losses. And like that's the point where you sit there and go, all right, guys, maybe we think one team's playing better than the other, but they probably shouldn't be eight spots apart. And if they lose again, well, it'll sort itself out. But let's not go ahead and preemptively do this. And so I think if you had just seen the final bracket, I thought everything logically kind of made sense. But the whole point is it was the discussion around it and the rankings before it that actually ended up not making sense because some people still haven't figured out there's only one ranking that matters, and that's the last one.
Yeah, I think, though, you're playing with people's emotions, though.
Sure.
I think everybody understands that you have to wait to the last one, but I think, Jeffrey, if you do, and I'm happy. It worked out for me. I'm a Hurricane fan, but the way you're doing it, and when you come back with that statement, it looks like really only the last week matter. Now it almost look like keeping up with it don't mean nothing anymore. It doesn't have any substance to it, like how you're ranking it, because the committee did do a good job, but they could have saved themselves that headache, like you said, by putting them next to each other. I already been flipping Miami with both of them not playing another game.
Yeah.
I think they got themselves in trouble. Now, with the Alabama thing, I agree that regular season championship being there, you should not get disqualified about the championship game. But when you perform that badly, Jeffrey, it got to be something like if you make the championship game and stay within, let's say, 10 points or two touchdowns, we might don't drop you. But it should be some in the rules saying anything past two touchdowns, you potentially can, because it also was their third game loss. And then when you get to three games, no matter who the champion was or not, now I take even Texas over you. I take Texas over you because their third loss was Ohio State. Your third loss was Florida State. Two different things, right? And I think Florida State even got them pretty good. I think Notre Dame is more deserving.
Like, I think you'd have to make the argument, though. So if we're going to say three losses, you would have to say the Florida loss is the equivalent to Alabama's Florida State loss.
Yes.
Because the Georgia – but the reality, though, is even when you start comparing Texas and Alabama, it's like both of them got beat by three score plus.
Mm.
So what was – it was – was it 31-10? What did Georgia beat them? 28-10?
Alabama?
No. What did Georgia beat –
Texas.
I
thought it was 35-10.
35-10. So they beat them by 25, and then
they beat oof.
And then Bama. They beat Bama 28-7. Right.
Yeah.
I guess this is the other point.
It was belt off for both of them.
Yeah, BTA.
Even though
I never, I thought the score was closer in the Georgia Texas game than, like, the score was closer than watching it down to down. Like, I thought down to down Georgia's kicking their ass. And then the final score ends up looking more like what I thought while I was watching. I weirdly think probably I thought Texas had a chance to win the game later than I did Alabama. Like, I guess this is the question I'd have for y'all. On Saturday, what was the latest point in the game that you thought Alabama was still in it?
Like the third snap?
Man, what? They already was getting... whoop, like it would never.
I'm only slightly joking about that, but pretty early game.
Here's the only thing I'd push back. I thought in the first quarter, neither team was blocking the other.
True.
So, like it was obvious to me Alabama did not have answers for Georgia's defense. Mm. But the first two series, Georgia didn't have much of an answer either. And then they started getting away from trying to do kind of the play action, deeper drops, and they tried to get the ball out of Stockton's hand. And you see him, he winds up with like 30 attempts, 150 yards. Like, it was just get the ball out of his hand quick because they had their backup center in and they were just getting crushed in the middle. I felt like the first drive of the second half, I was like, because didn't it go to the half at like 10 to nothing?
It was
14-9 or 14-3.
Maybe you're right. But
14.
It was 14-0 at halftime.
Yeah.
Georgia just scored a touchdown in every quarter, and Alabama got one in the fourth, and that was it.
Yeah. Yeah, they were 14. And then he started that first half. You remember he got that long kickoff, then they pretty much just ran it in. So it was 21.
That's right.
Yeah.
They did have that return, that off that.
Because Georgia started the second half of the ball, right?
No.
Alabama did. I was going to say, okay, that's when I thought.
Alabama got the ball first and just got absolutely punked on that first drive. And I'm like, oh.
I was open to the idea that if Alabama could have come out and scored in the second half to start, maybe. But I don't know. I bet Georgia that game, and I never really felt all that bad after the first quarter. Like, I felt like this is – I know how this is going.
Yeah, I just felt like Georgia people was – I think we have gotten away because Georgia didn't win it the last couple of years of how dominant Georgia and Kirby Smart is. And maybe Kirby Smart is because although NIL is a little different, Georgia is really dominant. And this is why I say I'm willing to take anybody out, even if you make the championship game. I still think it was wrong. Y'all hear me out, and I know I'm still living off this. 2-3 years ago, and I'm not a Georgia fan, when the defending champs, undefeated 2 years, losing the SEC. I don't care what nobody else doing. I felt they deserved it more than ever. They're the defending champs. Went undefeated the whole year. What was it, 2 years?
23, I believe.
Yeah.
Because, right, they win the title in 21 and 22.
Yep.
23, and they go 12-0.
And lose the SEC to Alabama.
Lose to Alabama in the SEC championship game.
I didn't think Texas or none of them deserved it. So if you're going to – now, granted, it wasn't 12 teams there.
Yeah, it was four.
It was four. But if you go, I still think they was deserving to be in there. You know, whoever made it that year, I think it was TCU, and they would have killed them.
No, they did. They did kill them.
So that was a year later. Washington went.
No, this is the Florida State year.
They didn't get in either.
this is the year where essentially you had five teams that were politicking. So the teams, so we had Michigan in for sure.
Yes.
So this year Michigan won it.
And this is the year where Florida State is undefeated.
But Travis blows his leg out.
Correct. Travis gets hurt. And then they played the ACC championship game against Louisville with our boy Brock Glenn, and it was awful. Like it.
I remember that game being a disgusting watch.
Texas got in because Texas, it was Texas's last year in the Big 12. Texas had beaten Alabama in Tuscaloosa.
Mm-hmm.
You're correct. Washington ends up getting in that year.
Washington
is in.
When UW goes to the champ game.
So at this point, you had Texas, Alabama, Georgia, Florida State. You had four teams for the last two spots because Washington and Michigan were safely in.
It was six teams competing.
Correct.
Yeah.
So you had four teams for that final two spots. Florida State goes undefeated, wins the ACC, but they had the quarterback issue. Alabama had just beaten Georgia in the SEC championship game. Texas had the head-to-head win against Alabama. And then Georgia wound up in a situation where they had some out-of-conference game that ends up getting canceled, and then they had just a unusually weak schedule. Like, the SEC East was bad. Their crossover games were bad. So they just didn't have a ton on their resume. And basically it was like, well, someone's got to go out. You don't have a big enough win. You're out. And then they just made the decision to punt Florida State.
And that was odd because I think Alabama might have had two losses. And back then, that was when you couldn't.
No, they were 13-1.
They were 13-1. Okay, I knew they had a loss. And I'm going to tell you who else messed this thing up this year. The ACC. Because
100%.
Notre Dame and Miami both supposed to be in. That's the crazy. And to me, that commissioner, I know he didn't want to do it in the middle of the year. I know Duke is a brainiac school. I know he couldn't get people against him. He should have made that because that looks bad that you're champs. Thank God that Miami got in it or they really would be looking at it because everybody said if Duke wins, that's going to make them look even worse. Well, Duke did win.
Yes, they did.
And somehow
I think it's the only game that I've bet on Duke this year, either bet on Duke or bet against Duke that I actually came away with a winning ticket.
Yeah, and Virginia been playing good this year. I don't know if they was going to let them in.
They just smoked them like 3 weeks ago at Duke.
Really?
Beat them by like three scores.
Yep.
Mm.
I really thought Virginia was just going to make it easy for everyone.
Well, the thing, though, is to Coach's point, this is, I guess, what has driven me insane. And I think I might have mentioned this to George yesterday. I understand this is a sport that is largely built on emotion, whether it be giving your rivals the business, you know, you talking bad about my team, get your lips off my team, you know, all the things that you can say. The actual villain in all of this, or the bad guy, however you want to phrase it, or the person we should be blaming is the ACC, and I don't understand why that's not the case. Because if they just would have come up with a solution where we have this massive muddle, and instead of a five-team tie, and I made this joke to George, I can't remember if I said it on the air, if you would have gone and looked at the ACC standings last week before the game, I would have had to have skipped five teams to get to where Duke was in the standings. If I have to skip to that many teams to find your conference championship game participant, you need to change your conference participation rules. And if we just get to a point where, guys, we have a five-way or six-way tie for second, we have one team that's sitting here ranked 12th in the college football playoff, that's the team that's going into the championship game. Period. End of story. We're not going to sit there and focus on whether or not Boston College and Syracuse, whoever wins this game, is going to determine our champion. Like it, and if we would have just had that situation, either Virginia or Miami is in, we would have solved the Notre Dame-Miami dilemma, and then we would have been in a situation where we're not having to deal with an additional G6. And I'm not someone that's like, they have no business being in here. If you're going to play this situation where all of these games count, as FBS opponents, I am totally cool with them having the ability to participate. If you want to do it like other sports and make them FCS, you want to come up with another division, that's fine. But because everybody wants to make sure they get their scheduled wins, they count. So we're putting them in there. So I'm totally fine with that. And the whole reason why we have a second team in is not because of some conspiracy against the big boys. They're the ones that wrote the rules.
Yeah.
They're in there by their own bylaws. And so we're sitting there going, who's like, who did this? It's like, hello, it's the ACC.
Mirror.
Yeah. It's like they wrote the rules. ACC broke the rules. And now we're in a situation. Now Notre Dame is so butthurt. They're going off on the ACC talking about you didn't. We hear y'all rhyme with my. Listen, you're just emotional right now. The ACC don't want no smoke with Notre Dame. They love the business that y'all do, you know, even though you don't do it with football. ACC is about very, very smart institutions, which Notre Dame prestige institutions.
Mm-hmm.
Which
NC Notre State. Dame. Continue.
Yeah. So they.
It's NC State. NC State hate month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they.
I will say this. When I lived in North Carolina, the fan base that I definitely got along with the best was NC State. Mm-hmm. They're the most normal. Carolina's very uppity.
That tracks.
Duke is exactly what you would think Duke would be. The NC State people are like normal.
But I will say this, though. You can always be normal. Them are two. I done been on both campuses. Them two prestige schools right there, Duke and North Carolina. And a lot of, you know.
With that being said, if Josephine, if they want to accept my daughter, yeah.
Yeah.
I've always just thought, though, there's nothing, there's no glass-shattering moment quite like when you turn, like, 13 or 14 and you grow up watching college basketball and the Cameron crazy seem like the coolest thing ever. And with all due respect to young Peter Calkins, proud Duke graduate, son of Jeff, when you like get old enough to realize like that is some of the biggest like square nerds in the history of like Earth, it is such a different experience. They love their school, obviously.
Yeah.
But like that's not exactly like the cool kids. That's not getting into the old club in LA.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. You had that life. But I will say this though. When I go to, I don't know how far you were, Jeffrey, but I like Charlotte a lot. But part of maturing, too, is when you go to Raleigh, that's actually a unique place in the country that's maybe underrated from a brilliant standpoint, that triangle.
The research triangle.
The people that come out of those schools got some of the, like, a lot of people graduate from North Carolina, Wake Forest, like, a lot of them work in D.C., like, in the, so many UNC guys I know working D.C. and, you know, as far as the government and stuff like that. And so,
Can't believe they beat the NCAA.
Yeah. Raleigh is a good area. But you know why we're not blaming the big boys?
I'm a Winston guy.
Winston, okay. Wake Forest is really prestigious, small, but it got a prestige to it from an academic standpoint.
I was totally fine with Wake kids. They annoyed me. They did not annoy me at all.
It ain't enough of them.
No, I mean, that's. But I was also around them the most.
Cause you,
I lived in downtown Winston, and so like where they would basically go, you know, party, like they would always just wind up there, and they didn't annoy me.
So I can be wrong, but when I had some kids recruited to Wake, this back when, so before Damian Ball came here, Danny Manning was recruiting them tough. He came to, so I can be, now this might be wrong. I'm embarrassed to say this, but it said like Wake Forest had like 1 year. 4,000 students there? Is that, that's
probably
wrong.
Six.
Okay, so I'm in the right category. Yeah. And for that to be an ACC school, the football games are packed. This is impressive. The basketball games are packed. I think he told, I was like, are you talking about just for his grade? Or are you talking about what he's majoring in? But this was a few years ago. They was like
54-71 undergrad, yeah.
Okay, I didn't, because when you hear the other schools, you know, like, Memphis got 20. I think North Carolina got 20. Duke got 20. So when I heard.
I bet North Carolina now.
Got more, right? Yeah. So when I heard 45 at the time, I'm like, oh. But speaking of the governor, Jeffrey and George, the reason we're not getting mad at the big boy, not getting mad at the ACC like we should instead of the big boys.
You're right, 20, a tick over 20, like yeah. 26, yeah. 21. I don't know why I thought they were bigger.
Them, Memphis, UNLV, I looked up, they all around 20. But yeah. The reason we're not mad at them is because we're treated just like we're treated the world. A lot of us get mad at the president and the people that are federal, but a lot of time it's the local people who we need the most change for. That's what's going on right now. The ACC got to get it right. And they're going to have to change the rules, y'all. I'm going to tell you why, because I have nothing against the little guys. Y'all know I'm an underdog. We can't have two of them in there. It's not the, it's
okay,
the ACC.
The problem
fault.
Is, like, I don't know how you do it.
Because we've wound up in back-to-back years. Like, for instance, we did not foresee a situation where the four conference champions would not be the highest-ranked conference champions. So they were all going to be seeded 1-4 because they wanted to keep the significance of the conference championship games. Well, then we wound up with Boise State and Arizona State getting top seeds. So then they go, all right, well, we're seeding it 1-12, but we're still just going to do the five conference champions. They did not foresee an issue where two of the five would not be one of the group of four. And lo and behold, here we are. And part of the problem is we have these massive conferences in terms of number of teams, and they're all, you know, the ACC had a 17-team league, and they were playing eight conference games. Like, when there's just not enough overlap in schedules, there's not balanced schedules, I think you're always just going to wind up, like, I think next year we'll have another unintended consequence.
So, you're right. What they do, well, let me say this. I don't think we'll have a lot of years where, like, last year, it was pretty much settled. It's just they went number right. This year, it was 15 teams that deserved to make it. I don't think it'll Vandy, Texas, and Notre Dame. I don't think it'll ever always be
there. I listened to BYU. I know what Texas Tech did to them kind of made us write them off. Texas Tech was doing that to everybody. Like, you know what I mean? Everyone they played. So I've listened to an argument for BYU.
There are one of the few people, too, that at least a NIL money means something, because people automatically think, just because, trust me, I'm a Yankee fan, people automatically think because you got, the Dodgers make it look good.
Yeah.
But it may make you think just because you got the most money, you automatically win. Look at Kentucky basketball. When you're dealing with young kids, that's not always the case. Just because you have...
No, I think what money does, the Yankees are a perfect example. And obviously, the other thing is, like, now that it's down to the Steinbrenner kids, there's not as much money because they had to split it up. What I think spending does is it raises your floor. Like, the Yankees never sucked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were never, like, you know, they were always either in the wild card mix or just, like, out. Like, their bottom never crashed out. And I think that's what money does. But I don't think it necessarily just buys you a championship.
This is what, now, the NCAA is way bigger than Peach Jam, guys. But if anybody heard, Peach Jam is pretty big, too, guys. I mean, LeBron, everybody comes to a Nike Peach Jam. And John Stovall and Carton DeBow, I like this thing they did, and I think we should do it in college football if it ever, only the years we need it. This would be the year that they do a mercy game. So when we go to Peach Jam, it's 24 teams. So usually it'd be about 26 that deserve to get in. So what they do is the top 22 get in automatically. The last four, they do a play-in game for the spot. Like, I would love right now to see Notre Dame against, well, I'm going to say this, the 11 and 12, y'all play each other, and one of y'all only getting 11 or 12. We're not letting both of y'all in. Tulane play Jay, and then we would have maybe Notre Dame against Texas. Texas beat Vandy, so y'all are kind of out of there.
You're sounding like the Big Ten commissioner.
No, I don't want to add. I want to still do 12, but like this 14 was... teams get a chance.
This is
very. I haven't heard of y'all tell me this.
This is Petiti. Like, this is the thing. The thing is,
y'all been saying this for weeks. I don't really listen to him.
Every time Petiti makes a presentation, everyone collectively is like, gross. And then we get, but here's the best part. Then we get into like a situation where you recognize there's more teams than spots. Everyone goes, what if we had play-in games? And it's like, you realize like that was the thing 3 months ago that we're all like, gross. get that out of here. And so Patini's just sitting there going like, see, I told you. I think my bigger issue is last year we had a situation where I thought we didn't have enough quality teams. I thought we had like 9 teams and we had to fill 12 spots. This year we have a situation where we had probably 14 teams. Like, because I'm with you. I would include Vandy. I'd include Texas. I would include Notre Dame. I still think as much as we can gripe and complain, like if the ACC just gets this right, imagine how much different we feel about this playoff if Notre Dame is in at 11, Miami's at 10, Tulane's at 12, and then we have Bama at 9, Oklahoma at 8, A&M at 7, Ole Miss at 6, Oregon at 5.
Nobody could say anything.
So how could we have avoided this situation?
ACC.
That's it.
But it's still one person would have slightly got screwed.
Yeah, but then we're talking about the teams that we talk about getting screwed would be BYU. And BYU, hey, buddy, you had 2 chances to play your way in. Because if you're BYU, if you could have beaten Texas Tech just once, you're probably in.
But BYU didn't get screwed.
I know, but then we're starting to talk about Texas, and then we're talking about Vandy.
Vandy didn't get screwed either. If you do it the way you say it, the only because Texas beat Vandy, so then they have to be quiet. Texas, BYU, you didn't win the game. It would only be Texas because it would feel like they getting punished
don't
by
lose
playing
to
Ohio.
Florida.
But I think it's more I think they would have got in if they lost to Florida but still only had 2 losses, they would be in. It's the Ohio State thing that killed them, and it's like
I'm not sure that's the case.
I think it's 3 losses. I think 2.
Okay, but think about this. So the only here's where you might be right. In the end, the mess would have been, how do you separate Oklahoma and Texas? Oklahoma would have had better wins, but Texas is sitting there with a head-to-head against Oklahoma. And then are you bumping out Bama, who is your regular season champ?
That would be my – if we did the way you saying it, right, and we got down to Notre Dame already in, that would be my only one.
The problem, though,
game.
I know we all love to listen. Nobody loves to make fun of the committee's infatuation for the A on a helmet. The problem is Alabama this year, unlike other years, was actually saved by its resume. When you looked at Alabama on paper, it's like they have basically like 6 wins against top 30 teams.
So don't Texas do too?
So Texas's argument is they have wins against A&M, Oklahoma. So they had 2
That's
playoff teams.
That's big time.
But Bama has a win against Georgia. Is that their only playoff team?
Playoff team, yes.
Yes.
But they also had the win against Vandy. They gave Vandy their worst loss of the year. Like
they doubled them up in that game for what it's worth.
If you start to go line by line, Alabama's resume's much deeper because the average team Alabama played was significantly tougher than Texas. The problem with Texas is Texas essentially came down to like a 3-game schedule in which it was Ohio State, Oklahoma, and Texas A&M. And it's like, that's fine. All you had to do was win one of them. They ended up winning 2. You can't lose to Florida.
Yeah, Alabama in here had a really tough like 4-game stretch at the beginning of the year. And they won all of them. They beat Georgia on the road, Vandy at home, Missouri on the road, Tennessee at home.
And I think Missouri finished ranked.
Tennessee didn't?
No, because Vandy
smoked
Vandy
them.
Vandy beat them, so did. I never thought I'd see the
But base. Weirdly, the Vandy, I'm sorry,
but, the Tennessee
win counted for Alabama, but didn't count for Vandy. That was another logic.
Even though Vandy beat them by more.
Correct. And on the road.
Who and Alabama lost to who this year? Florida State.
Florida State and then
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma was the loss. Yeah. Oklahoma.
And that was like a 2-point game. It was.
So that's going to be a crazy playoff game. Why they've got the? I know we're doing numbers, but they got the same people playing. Like, why would Tulane go back to Ole Miss? It's going to be crazy. Like,
I actually think they actually seeded it pretty right. I mean, I get it as an Ole Miss fan. Like, you're fine with it, but like,
I'm saying, but it's like, it's not really gonna be. Now I'm thinking about I was thinking about actually going down. I know it's sold out.
Well, you don't know where I'll be.
Yeah, but I'm like, do you know it's not going to? It's like having a bow. It's not. I'm not hating on Tulane, but they already beat them by – now, I get the – and I know it's seeding, so I'm just talking in circles, but I get the Oklahoma-Alabama. Like you said, that was a two-point game. So, it's going to go down. You know, that's going to be a – that's a real heavyweight fight. But it's like – that's a way. I feel like it's a waste of time. What is the betting line already? I'm not. Is it gonna be
17? Like, but the biggest line is Oregon JMU, which is like above 20 now. I think it's like 21.5, 22.
That's gonna be crazy.
That's where it opened.
The problem is, what were you gonna do? Like you couldn't move Tulane up. Like you weren't gonna put Tulane ahead of Miami. Mm-mm. So then you would have had to have moved Ole Miss back, and it's like, well, Ole Miss and A&M both didn't play. They have the exact same resume today, and it wasn't like, oh, they got moved to different pods.
Now, seeding-wise, that's the only thing I would have changed. I would have put A&M in front of Ole Miss.
The problem is A&M's resume, other than the win-loss record, their resume's thinner than Ole Miss's. Because they both essentially have – like, Ole Miss has more wins against teams in the field, and then – Ole Miss's best win is on the road at Oklahoma, who's ranked higher, and then A&M's is the road win at Notre Dame, who's not in the field.
Who's not in the field.
So, like, it, on paper, A&M, and I'm not saying, like, oh, A&M finagled the system. Like, the schedule was the exact same schedule it was last year. Mm-hmm. It just happened to be the team's worst this year. All right, let's take a break. We will welcome Jason Munns to the program. He is at the Charles Huff introductory press conference. We'll talk to him next right here on Jeff Wright & Company. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed-sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Jason Munns is the Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. Joins us each and every Monday on the program. Follow him on the Everything app at Munsley. Munns, what are we listening to?
Jeffrey, that is My Morning Jacket.
The
song is titled Two Halves. And, that's Louisville's own My Morning Jacket.
All right, so you are over covering the introductory press conference for Charles Huffy. Kind enough to step away. We really appreciate that. I guess let's start with this. How is the atmosphere over there?
It is. There's a lot of people here, Jeffrey. Very much a production. Like they've put up a stage in the indoor practice facility up against the backdrop is like their giant video board, and they're utilizing that, and there's lots of rows of chairs, and they're all full, and there's a bunch of fans here. I mean, there's a lot of people here, and it just started. So University President Bill Hargrave offered his remarks, and now Ed Scott, the Memphis Athletic Director, is going through, he's basically running down Charles Huff's resume, people are impressed. So it's a big day.
And I know we don't have like a ton of data and everything is kind of selective, but wouldn't you say that is suggestive of the fact that maybe the online response that wasn't particularly warm to Charles Huff, that maybe confirms that was not really reality?
I think, yeah, like as if we needed any more.
Right.
Proof of that, any more evidence that social media is not real life. What we're seeing today, what we're hearing today, does seem to reiterate the fact that social media is not exactly real life. But no, I still think there are those out there who are at the very least skeptical, and some who are even probably, going a step further to just not be in favor of this hire, which is totally fair. I mean, people are free to feel how they want, but you cannot argue with Charles Huff's bona fides. I mean, he was made the associate head coach at the University of Alabama by Nick Saban for a reason. He's Nick Saban's not exactly in the business of making bad decisions and judging by what Charles Huff has done since he was at the University of Alabama. He made a good decision when he did that. Nick Saban did. What's going to happen today, and this is based on, what I've observed and what I've heard from people down in Hattiesburg and at Southern Miss, like, Charles Huff has not yet gotten to the mic, at least when I was in there. But I have a very, very, very strong feeling that he is about to win over a lot of people. Like, he's that kind of guy. He's very much type A. He knows how to command a room, and he's extremely confident. And I think he's going to convince some of those people who might not be his biggest fan, or might not be Memphis's biggest fan, or Ed Scott's biggest fan right now. He's gonna change some minds here in just a few minutes.
Not that I'm saying that you're on the Southern message boards, or that you're just wearing black and gold all day, but you're someone that understands the context of the Southern Miss football job, kind of what has become. In your estimation, how good of a job did he do in 1 year down there?
So he took over a situation where, so they were 1-11. Everybody knows that by now. Southern Miss was 1-11 in 2024. And in a span of just a few months, like, he turned that culture around. Like, he not only turned it around, like, he swept away the whatever that previous culture was and built his own or installed his own in a very short period of time. And the other thing that I think, couple of things, like, one of the biggest factors apart from himself, apart from, like, you know, the coaching part of it, is like, a lot of people point to the fact that he just basically brought the best parts of his roster from Marshall to Southern Miss. And that's kind of true, but, like, that's also a skill. That's also something that should be a feather in a coach's cap, is the ability to attract talent and get that talent to play for you and those sorts of things. And I mean, listen, Southern Miss was 7-2 before they lost their, before their quarterback got hurt. Braylon Braxton got hurt and missed like a game and a half. And when he came back, the mojo was off and they lost their last regular season game, but they were still in the mix for, like, it came down to that regular season finale. Like, if they had won, if they had beaten Troy in the regular season finale, they would have been in the conference championship game and not Troy. So, you know, 7-5, ending the season on a 3-game losing streak, doesn't, it's not super sexy, but, like, when you put it in the context of he took over a very difficult situation, and just turned it around real quick, it's pretty impressive.
And I don't want to pick on Memphis fans, and as we've discussed, like, I think someone's been screaming for a decade, the decision makers that were listening to social media, you were all wrong. You've been proven wrong. So congratulations. I'm not picking on them in the sense of, like, oh, there's been the people that didn't like this hire. I do think a defining characteristic of this hiring cycle was, really, other than LSU, everybody's been kind of lukewarm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like everyone's been going, oh, we got our guy, home run, home run, home run. I think the thing that's interesting about it, though, is I can make a legitimate case. This is the most accomplished and qualified coach that Memphis has hired in my entire lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a valid point. And I think that counts for a lot.
I do, too.
It counts for a lot. I mean, like, you're talking about a guy who has not just been a head coach at one place. You know, he's been to multiple Division I universities as the head coach and won at both of those universities. You know, he's got experience in the region. He's got experience in the state. He's got experience in the NFL. He's got, you know, experience at the highest level when he was at Alabama and stuff like that. So it's like, I mean, I'm not sitting here saying by any means that he's going to come in here and engineer a, you know, like, you know, they won 7 times as many games in Hattiesburg as they did a year ago under Charles Huff this season. Obviously that's impossible to do here from a win standpoint, but, like, it just taking everything.
What if he wins 2 more?
Yeah. Well, right. I mean, I think that would be when you think about it, like, that would be probably more impressive than the result would certainly be more a bigger deal if he won 2 more games next year than Memphis won this year. But listen, I think this is this is not a situation where Memphis, you know, whiffed on 2 or 3 guys and they're just settling for Charles Huff. Like, I do not. I've talked to a number of people very close to the situation, and this is not a situation where Memphis is settling on Charles Huff.
No, I completely agree. And it's like, I always judge the process. Like, listen, the results will tell us whether or not it was a successful hire, but it's like, they went into a hire and they came away with an accomplished football coach. They ran a professional search. It took them, what, a week or 6 days? Like, I don't, to me, it's like, that was a very good search, and he came away with a quality candidate. I don't, you know, it's one of those ones. If you're against it, okay, like,
there's nothing I'm going to sit here and say and stump for that's going to change your mind. The only thing that's going to change your mind is if he ends up winning, and that can't be answered until the next fall.
That's my thing, is we don't know what's going to how next season is going to go, or the season after that. We don't know. But to immediately dismiss the hire based on nothing more than face value, I think is misguided. And so to your point earlier, like you can make the argument that this is like the least, like if you were going to dismiss a hire at face value, this would be the one at the bottom of the list.
Yeah,
because he, like, his resume speaks for itself.
No, I'm with you completely. Okay, also other news from the University of Memphis on Saturday. Tigers knock off Baylor, get a really nice win at home. They now even their record at 4-4. I guess let's go back to Saturday before we take a look at next Saturday. I kind of, you know, I know I feel like I'm maybe somewhat on an island here, and I know I'm not pounding the table going, move over, Sweet 16, here come the Tigers. But I continue to see more evidence that suggests I shouldn't just be out on this team. What did you see Saturday from the Tigers when they took on Baylor?
I feel like a broken record. Like, I come on every week and it's the same thing. Every time they play a game, I see something else, something new that makes me think if they continue to do what they've been doing each game out, that they're going to be really hard to beat in January, February, and March. And, you know, some examples of that. Zach Davis going for 23-13. Aaron Bradshaw, for heaven's sakes, after he was a healthy DMP.
Maybe some are arguing that was great coaching.
It might be, honestly. And I thought about saying this on our podcast, like maybe you sit Aaron Bradshaw against Louisville and see what kind of crazy game you can get out of him against Vanderbilt. I don't know. But you know, 17-7 from Aaron Bradshaw, who looked as engaged as he has looked all season. So it's just like, and then of course the way the game ended down the stretch, Penny played what, 6-7 guys most max.
The classic where you just want to like pull your hair out. It's like, all right, he cut the rotations down and they took care of the basketball. Lo and behold, they win.
Lo and behold, yeah, Deb McDaniel committed 4 turnovers in the game. The last one that he committed was like around 14 minutes left in the game.
Yep.
And Memphis was down 4. He did not commit another turnover the rest of the day, and they outscored Baylor 11 points the rest of the way. So, yeah, cut down on the turnovers, cut down on the rotation, and look what happens.
Because it's not like they shot the basket. It's not like, oh, you know, it was bombs away from 3. What, they finished like 3 of 17 or something like that?
3 of 16, I think.
3 of 16, yeah.
When Baylor made 10 three-pointers, like that's really, really hard to do. When you only make 3, the other team makes 10, and you still win by 7, like that's pretty impressive. So, but no, it's another one of those games where, you know, what you see is something you hadn't seen the game before. And it's like, to me, if you take all of those things that you see each game, that's like an encouraging sign. And if you just put it all together, and obviously that is the next step, is being able to put it all together to where it's like, you know, what you saw 2 games ago doesn't disappear this game. And what you saw this game doesn't disappear 2 games later. It's like bringing it all together, making it gel, and seeing what you come up with at that point. And I think if they're able to do that, then again, like I said, you're talking about a team that's going to be really, really hard to beat in January, February, and March.
All right, now let's spin it forward to Saturday. How do you frame Saturday? Because it's not like, oh, must win, but it does feel like, hey, this is an opportunity, and it is one of those games that if you do pick it off, it does make up for some of the poor performances from earlier in the year. Like, but at the same time, like, I'm not saying I'm expecting them to go into Louisville and win, but How do you kind of frame it up?
I don't think anybody outside of the Lori Walton facility could reasonably expect Memphis to win on Saturday. Louisville's really, really, really good. And this is a game, obviously, at Louisville. So Memphis is on the road. Again, Louisville is extremely good. Like they're outscoring their opponents on an average 26.2 points per game, which is like the seventh biggest scoring margin in the country. Again, Louisville is extremely good. But so honestly, the way I kind of would frame the game this Saturday at Louisville is like if Memphis can, you know, do what they did against Purdue and do what they did against Ole Miss, where they, you know, kept it respectable, then it's kind of a win-win situation. You know, if you are able to go over there and pick them off, well, then obviously that's a huge deal. Like at that point, you've got a quad one win all of a sudden, and you've got, like you're going to skyrocket in the net and like your metrics are all of a sudden going to start looking really, really good. But even playing well, I think you're gonna see you're gonna move up in the metrics as long as you don't get embarrassed. So I apologize.
No, wait.
It appears the press conference has ended.
The press conference has ended, and you're good enough because you stepped outside and you could be covering said press conference. So Munns, we really appreciate it, my man. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, thanks y'all. I appreciate it.
That is Jason Munns, Tiger basketball beat writer. For the commercial appeal, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's get into the list. Want to get coach's thoughts on his boy Shedeur Sanders, as he will be named starting quarterback for the remainder of the season. We will also talk about the future of bowl games and more from the world of sports. We'll do all that when we come back on the list here next on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.